that we started with, which was the malacha of moichek. And if you recall, we had two possibilities in the Rishonim as to how to understand the underlying productive quality of moichek, the gedder of the malacha, the yisod of the malacha, where we showed that we had a machlokes between the Rambam versus Rashi and the Rush. And on a basic level, we had two possibilities. One way of defining the malacha of moichek was erasing. But because erasing by its very nature is something that is inherently destructive, you are getting rid of something, you are mikalkel, so the malacha has to be performed in a manner that is productive. So when the Mishnah says, Hamochik almanas lichtov shte osios, what the Mishnah is trying to tell you is that when you erase, it has to be with the intent to rewrite two letters, but that's not a rigid requirement. That's just an example of a productive purpose that you would be doing when erasing. So you can erase in order to write two letters. You can also erase in other manners that will do other productive purposes, as we will see. However, Rashi and the Rush learn differently. And they say that no, the fact that the Mishnah says Mochik Amanas Lichtov Shtei Osios is a rigid requirement. It is Me'akev, you need to do it that way. And the reason for that is because it's a Hechsher Ksiva. Mochik is a Hechsher to Ksiva. It's preparing the surface for writing. It's not necessarily erasing for productive purposes, but rather it's setting up a surface for writing. So we saw last week, yesterday's ago, a nafkamina, which was what if a person wants to erase an area of two letters, which is the sheer makom for mochik, but he only has in mind to write one letter. If you say that the mochik is defined by erasing for productive purposes, so when I erase these letters and I write one letter, that's productive. I am doing it a productive act with this erasing because I'm going to write one letter. But if you hold that mochik means to set up malachas kosev, to set up the follow-up malacha of kosev, so there's room to argue, Reuven. I'm not saying it's definitive, but there's room to at least argue to say that maybe it's supposed to set up the malacha of kosev. And since the malacha of kosev requires two osios, only writing one letter would not be considered a hechsher to the ksiva. It would not be considered preparing for kosev. You could argue on that point, but it's very clear that if you hold of the first approach, that it's erasing for productive purposes, you would for sure be chayev. Whereas if you hold of hechsher ksiva, you can hear two possibilities, whether you need to do it for two letters or not. That was Ad Kan last year. So we're still in the middle of this nafkamina, but basically we're going to show multiple applications of this nikuda, where a person is erasing for productive purposes, but it's not with the intent to write, where we'll see that the first approach will be mechayev you, but the second approach, l'chora, would pati you because you're not doing it for the sake of writing two letters. You need to rewrite two letters. That is the hechsher for the ksiva. And you'll see in the upcoming nafkaminas, if we get to it, even more nafkaminas that come out of it. Okay, so let's do the next application. We're up to application number two. The first application was what we just said, rewriting one letter. Now we're doing application number two. So listen carefully because there's a little bit of a cheshbin here, but it's geshmaka stuff here. Okay, so the Rush in Zion Tests brings a Tosefta in Yud Bey's Zion. And we already spoke about this earlier, that if ink or any other substance like wax falls onto a pinkas, falls onto some kind of parchment, a person is chayiv for mochik if he erases that substance. Because mochik is not limited to letters. It can be any substance that you erase off of a surface in order to write on it. Okay. Now, based on this halacha, the Bach in Shin Mem takes it a step further. The Rush was speaking about wax that falls onto plain paper. The Bach says, well, it should follow from here that if wax falls onto paper with letters on it, it would also be usher and chay for mochik if a person erases the substance off that letter. That being the case, the Bir Halacha comes along in Shin Mem, and he brings down achronim, such as the Shvus Yaakov, who argues on this Bach, specifically when it comes to wax. The Shvus Yaakov says, what do you mean? When you have wax that is situated on paper, like by Havdalah, you'll see if you have any Havdalah benchers. So when the wax is on the paper, The letters are still somewhat, discernible. The letters are not blotted out. He says it's like munach bekufsa. It's like the letter is just inside of a box. You didn't eradicate or destroy the letter that the wax fell on. So says the Shmos Yaakov, how can you say that this will be an issue of mochik when you remove the wax if lemaisa the wax is not really integrated with the paper? That's the main point of the Shmos Yaakov. When we say that the Rosh says that you have to be mochik when you're mochik a substance off a of paper, it's called mochik. That's only when the substance is integrated with the paper, like DO, ink. But when it comes to wax, since it's not fully integrated with the paper, that's not called mochik. That's just a superficial covering on the paper. That's the Shmos Yaakov's taina. So the question is, how do we defend the Bach? So the Be'er HaLacha seems to be saying as follows. There's two steps in this response. Step number one, apparently, you have to say Lefi the Bach that no, he disagrees with the Shmos Yaakov, and he holds that wax is sufficiently integrated with the cloth in order to be called part of the cloth, such that when you erase it, you are removing a substance that is part of the cloth, that is contained on the cloth, that is part of the cloth. So they're having some kind of very dakas dikamachlokas there, whether or not wax is part of the cloth or not. But needless to say, the Bach is definitely assuming that it has some kind of integration into the cloth, such that when you erase the substance, it's called erasing. It's removing the substance. It's not just superficial. Okay. But the Be'er HaLacha goes on to say there's another kasha you have to ask that you have to explain the Bach, which gets into our Chakira. The Be'er HaLacha says, one second, we have a raya from Hilchos Tefillin that the letter that the wax is situated on is certainly not blotted out. Why is that? Because the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Lamed Beis brings down the halacha by Tefillin, which is unique to Tefillin. It doesn't apply to mezuzah or Sefer Torah, only by Tefillin. The halacha is that by Tefillin, a sofer has to write all the letters kesidron. They have to be written in order. If he writes the word Yehuda and finishes all of the tefillin, but he leaves, there's no Yehuda in tefillin, but whatever. And he realizes that he forgot a yud. He can't just add the yud. Doesn't work. It's out of order. So says the Shulchan Aruch, even if wax is found after the sofer completed the tefillin, wax is found on one of the letters, it doesn't matter. The tefillin is still kosher. Why? Because the letter that the wax is on is not blotted out. So even if you were to erase the wax, so what? The Maisa, it was done in order, and there was just a superficial covering on top of it. So says the Be'er HaLacha, you see from the Shulchan Aruch that when wax is on a letter, the letter is not called canceled out. It's not canceled out. So says the Be'er HaLacha, we have a new kasha on the Bach. Even if you want to tell me that somehow or another wax is integrated with the cloth and it's called an act of erasing, but one second, if we see from Tefillin that the letter is not blotted out, it's not canceled out, it's considered intact, so we have a new problem. If the Mishnah tells us that mochik is only chayav almanas lichtov she'osios, so how is that being satisfied in this case? If he erases the wax, okay, that's mochik, but he's not going to be able, he's not viewed as writing two more letters because the letters were always there. They didn't appear out of nowhere. If they were canceled out and now you're making them appear, okay, maybe we can hear that's called Amanas Lichtov. But they're not canceled out. They're there already. And don't tell me he's going to write another letter because it's there. When he takes off the wax, the letters are still there. So how does the Bir Halacha, how does the Bach, I'm sorry, finish off his Halacha? It's true. You argue with the Shmos Yaakov that the wax is considered integrated, but it's clear from Tefillin that the letters are still intact. So it comes out, at least from there, that there's no Almanas Lichtov. Hear the Kasha? Chavre. Okay. Who else? Lubes, you hear it? Kind of. Okay, let's say this again. There's no point in going weiter if we don't have it. Step one. The Bach says that when a wax falls onto paper, onto letters of a paper, there is an issue of mochik. Now, the Shvas Yaakov is not happy with that because just like if something is just superficially covering a letter, that's not called erasing a substance. So he feels that wax is also just a superficial covering. So apparently the Bach doesn't hold that way. He holds that it's considered integrated in the cloth such that when you remove it, you are called erasing a substance from the cloth. That's step one. Okay? That's good? That's clear? Okay. So now the problem is there's a new problem. The Be'er Halacha says that we know from Hilchos Tefillin that if you have wax on a letter and you finish your whole tefillin, and then you decide you want to erase that wax, let's say, that's still a kosher tefillin. Now, it says the Be'er Halacha, if wax cancels out letters, so now if you finish your tefillin and now you erase that wax, you just wrote a Sefer Torah, Kishelo Kisidron, out of order, because you finished the whole, tefillin. You finished the whole tefillin, and now you're uncovering a letter afterwards. So if it canceled it out, the tefillin should be puzzled. But the tefillin is kosher. So Elamai, you see from there that really the letter that was had the wax on top of it is not canceled out. It's considered intact. The letter is still there, such that when you finish the tefillin, who cares if there's wax there? When you take it off, the letter never left. The letter was always written in order from the get-go. So the point that Be'er Halacha says, you see from the Shulchan Aruch, that the letters on tefillin, when the wax is on it, is considered intact. Do you hear that, Raya, Yehuda? Well, there's no question. Just want to prove a point. One nekuda. You see from tefillin, we didn't ask the question yet. You see from tefillin that when tefillin has to be written in order. Even if wax is found on tefillin, that's not called blotting out the letter. Because had it been blotted out the letter, then the tefillin would be written out of order, right? Because when you now take off the substance, take off the wax, you're now making the letter appear from scratch. That would mean it's out of order. But the Shulchan Aruch says the tefillin is kosher. So it must be that the letter is not blotted out. The letter is still intact. Because tefillin has to be written from the beginning to the end in order, right? Okay, so now let's say you finish your tefillin and you're missing a letter. Your mom is missing a whole letter. And you go back and you fill in that letter. So by a Sefer Torah, that's kosher. But by tefillin, that's pasul. Because it's shelok hasidron. You didn't write the letters in order. It has to be from the beginning to the end in order. You can't write a letter retroactively after you finish your tefillin. Okay? Yeah, but I'm trying to show you something. So now, in that case, if I were to go back and actually fill in that letter and complete the tefillin, it would be possible. It would be possible. So now, another similar case. I write my whole tefillin, but this time I do write all the letters in order. Everything is there. But I have a piece of wax that's covering an olive. So I see the wax, and I remove the wax. The tefillin is kosher. Says the Be'er Halacha, you see from there, that had wax blotted out the letter, if it was viewed in halacha as if it's not there, so how can it be kosher? Once I remove the wax, it's as if I'm writing the letter from now, and I'm writing the letter after the tefillin is already over. It's finished. Elamai, you see from tefillin that the wax is not blotting out the letter. Really, the letter is considered intact, and it says, "And I did write all the letters intact. Just happens to be there's some wax on top of it." Okay, but lemaisa, the letter is there. So you see from tefillin that the letter is intact when the wax is there. Okay. So now the Be'er Halacha finishes off the kasha on the Bach. Now I have a kasha on you, the Bach. Even if you want to tell me that the substance of wax is considered integrated into the cloth, and now you're removing a substance, Reuven Eliezer, but isn't there a rigid requirement of al menas lichtov shtei osios? When I erase, I have to be able to write two letters. It has to be for the sake of writing. Here, when I remove the wax, It's not for the sake of writing. Because maybe if the letters were canceled out and now I'm removing the wax and now making them appear, that maybe I could have heard is called amenas lichtov shtei osios. I'm causing two letters to be written. Or at least if I end up writing it. But here, I'm not doing any of that. The letters are always there. So how can I be chayav for mochik if I'm not intending to write two letters? The letters are always there. There's nothing that's being accomplished. That's the kasha of the Bir Halacha. So says the Bir Halacha, let me finish the answer, and then you'll ask me your kasha. Says the Bir Halacha, that's true only if you understand like Rashi and the Rush. Then it's a kasha. But if you learn like the Rambam, that mochik does not mean preparing a surface for writing. It's not a rigid requirement that it has to be almanas to write two letters, but rather it's just erasing for productive purposes. So here it is productive because Kolzman, the wax is on the letters. The wax is somewhat making it hard to read the letter. So when I remove the substance and I erase the substance, it is productive. I'm causing letters to be more legible. I can read them. So this would be a nafkamina if you understand, like Rush and the Rashi, that you need to prepare a surface for writing. You didn't do that. The writing is always there. Nothing has changed. All you did was erase. So it wouldn't be us chayav d'oraisa. But if you understand that erasing just means erasing for productive purposes, so in this case, it is productive. I'm causing the letters to be legible, even though the letters are intact, but l'maisa, the letters are becoming legible by me erasing. So I'd be chayav in a toila. And so if you look at the Prima Gadim, let me just finish Reuven, the Prima Gadim actually makes this point. He says the taina you can make on the bath is, but it's not almanas lichtov sheosios. The Bir Halacha's response is, yeah, but the bach is not working with that shita. He's working with almanas lisakein. As long as you do a mechika with productive purposes, in this case, it is productive because you're making it legible. You'll be chayav. Yes, moving. What's your kasha? Well, there's no kasha. Just before you, I don't mind you. You're going on. Just pointing out, this is not a kasha on Rashi. This is a bach. The Rashi doesn't have to agree to this bach. But if you're trying to say maybe we can fit Rashi into the bach. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Wait, before you go to Mochik Tzio, by Tfilin, are the letters intact even when the wax is on it or not? You have to choose one. It's intact. Okay. Okay. So now when it comes to Mochik, yeah. Yeah. That's a big chiddush. To say that the letter has to be discernible in order to be considered written. That's what you want to say. Right, but we're not saying that. Listen, at least the Gabbai Tefillin, it has a Tzuras Ha'os. It's not a scribble mark, it's a Tzuras Ha'os. So on Shabbos, it definitely has some kind of Tzuras Ha'os. You're saying, yeah, so that's, okay, so I hear what you're doing. It's a nice Shtickle Torah, but it's a Shtickle Torah. You're trying to say that the significance of writing letters on Shabbos doesn't just mean to write the Tzura of a letter, but to make that letter legible. Part of the tzura of a letter is that it's legible letters. That's a big chiddush. I hear. You have to find a raya to that, and you have to maybe. Yeah, I hear. But off the cuff, I hear what you're trying to do. Do I agree with it? If I see a raya, I'd agree with it. I can hear such a svara. But doing the whole sugya of kosev, I did not see that svara come up once. But it could be that, you know, that's what Reuven's here for. But you need a raya for that. But I want. white marker to a white paper, would that be ksiva? They do have a discussion. They do have a discussion in the poskim about invisible ink. What's the halacha of invisible ink? It's a good question. I'm not sure. I would have to look that up. It's part of the title. Yeah, but even there is not even a tzura. You don't even have a tzura. It's like you don't even see the tzura. You're saying there's a tzura, but you just can't see it. Okay, interesting. Okay. Right. Meaning if I have an ultraviolet. Yeah. I hear. Okay. So let's hold off on this. I hear your point. But for now, this is what the Bar Halacha is saying. Let's just give two examples before our guest speaker comes. I expected to say a lot more, but okay, it's good. I'm happy we hocked it out and we clarified the matter. There's a lot more in Mochik, so Mitzvah will do it next week. We have plenty of time, so we'll do Mochik next week also. But I just want to give you two more examples of this Nikuda, of this exact halacha we just did. And one example, just to bring it out, the Bar Halacha says this is all about wax. But if you have pages of a book or sefer that become stuck together with some adhesive, not wax, some kind of devek, glue, so that would be an issa d'oraisa, maybe for sure according to the Bach, because you're erasing a substance and it's productive. And the Bar Halacha says that even those who argue, like the Shus Yaakov, argue would agree here, because this is not something that is a superficial covering like wax. Glue becomes very much integrated into the paper. So even the Shus Yaakov may agree here. That was one example. So if you ever have a book or a bencher, I shouldn't say bencher, a book that has, you know, some sticky stuff on it, Bar Halacha says that maybe this is d'oraisa. Example number two, this is also very relevant. Moshe Mordechai Karp in Hilchos Shabbos v'Shabbos brings down, this is very common, that if a person has a bencher or a sefer that he used while eating, and very often some grime, some residue gets smudged onto the bencher. So says the Ramosh Mordechai Karp, that would not be an issue of mochik on Shabbos. If you wanted to just, you know, take that grime, that residue off the bench, it'd be mutter, especially if the bench is laminated and it's not even integrated into the cloth, into the paper. It's mamash on top of a lamination. But even if it's not laminated, he said it's okay. And the reason why he explains is because the kor halach of the Bach is a chiddush. The Bach is a chiddush, first of all. And so even if you want to operate with that chiddush, it would be restricted to the case that he was talking about, which was wax, but which is at least something that sticks well to the surface. But if it's just some grime, some food that is on the surface of a bencher, it would be mutter to remove that. That's not called mochik. Even if it's on letters, it doesn't matter. So that ends off that application. Next week, we're going to discuss a major chumrah of the Chaya Adam regarding, just to get your feet wet, just to get your appetite. The Chaya Adam speaks about the issue as to whether or not a person is allowed to wash his hands of dirt on Shabbos. What's that about? Chaya Adam has a chumrah that if someone's hands become blackened from some ashes of charcoal, let's say, where they just get very, very dirty, he says it would be mutter to wash Netzilas Yadayim, but it's also to dry one's hands after that Netzilas Yadayim, because that would be an act of moichik. Because when he removes the dirt from his hands, it's moichik. Netzilas Yadayim, he has other reasons why that would be okay, because it may be shlo b'chavana, it's in davar shenu miskaven, you're not really vadai going to erase the ink off. But if you dry your hands and you're rubbing it intently, you are trying to clean your hands off dirt. That, he says, would be a chumrah not to do that on Shabbos. Obviously, we're going to have to find a tzad kula, but it'll be very interesting next week to discuss what exactly is that basis of the chumrah and why would one argue on that chumrah. So next week, B'ezras Hashem, stay tuned for that halacha and mochik. Okay, hatzlacha chevra.